Hi. I'm so glad you're here. We didn't know if anyone would come. We are obviously celebrating what God has been up to. We're celebrating what we are stepping into by faith, and we're especially celebrating the togetherness that we've experienced through this entire campaign. And so we want to keep tonight fairly brief. You've already done your church hours for today. We know this is all bonus. You are getting paid time and a half for this in the heavenly realm, so that's good news. Just want to share two very short scriptures tonight. The first from Joshua chapter 4, and the second from Ephesians chapter 2. Joshua 4, verses 19 through 24. So we remember the story that the Israelites, in preparation for this new reality that they're walking into, they are led by the Lord across the Jordan River, and then in response, this is what they do. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from Jericho and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho, and Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you'd crossed over. The Lord God, your God, did this just as he had done in the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" And so if you're wondering what some of the aesthetic choices were in this place, we wanted to do two things. We felt like we made two really important promises to you when we proposed the idea of transforming our gym into our main place of worship. And the promises, it was going to be light and it was going to be a better sounding room. And I think it sounds and looks great, don't you? We worked really hard on those things. Yeah. And I could definitely bore you and take up a lot of time pointing out all the individual things in this room that helps with the sound and lighting and everything else. But the real thing that I wanted to draw your attention to was what's going on behind me on stage. So we really wanted to bring outside in. We know that this room doesn't have a lot of natural light coming in it. And we wanted a sense that we were still connected with God. And specifically, we wanted these stones to be front and center, because we wanted us as a family to remember what God has done. All throughout Scripture, there is this reference to stones, to altars, reminding us that God was with us, that he, through his grace and through his strength, led us forward. And just as in the story of Joshua chapter 4, these stones of remembrance build on top of one another. So not only are we remembering the crossing of the Red Sea, but now as a community, we're also remembering the crossing of the Jordan. And then there are more and more and more stories to come. So if you will, I think that one of the pillars could potentially represent this idea of remembering these stone altars that God has been faithful. And the other passage I want to point out to us this evening, I almost said this morning, is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. This is what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So if we have one analogy in Scripture that stones are touch points of remembrance, they're altars to remind us of God's goodness and grace, we have another passage that says, in Christ, the church is built up as a living temple, as a building, stone by stone, brick by brick, of people who have come into a knowledge of Christ and who together form his church. Our great hope is that we don't have to make any changes to this space or say goodbye to it for another 94 years, right? So that's another generation's problem to deal with, right? But we would be fooling ourselves to think that this is it, right? This isn't it. This beautiful space that we hope is going to serve our church so well will eventually age. And we'll have some of the same problems in the future that we had with the sanctuary, the problems of just materials wearing down over the course of time. But the good news for the Church of Jesus Christ is that in the Lord, there is one building that never erodes, never fails, never fades, and that's the building of the Church of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. The reality is, this is a place and a space for the church to begin. And as I was looking over these amazing documents of our history of this congregation, I found the dedication sermon to the sanctuary in 1926. And Pastor Charles Baum at the time, he had his notes, which were way more eloquent and thought through than mine are. And in him, he said that, "We have done all this work. We have this beautiful space. We have enough room for us to grow." He listed all the beautiful features in that then pristine, brand new sanctuary. And he said, "There's only one thing left for us to do now that we've got this beautiful structure. And that thing that's left for us to do is to build the church." That's the work that we continue. That's the stones that we build upon. That's the foundation that we have in Christ Jesus and the New Testament and the entire scriptures that point us to a new reality. This space allows us to build God's church. And we do so with joy and gratitude so that what is front and center is never in question. What is the focus of our attention is never in question. What's at the center of our heart and our worship is never in question. It's always, forever, Jesus Christ who poured out his life as an atonement for sin and reconciled a rebellious people with a holy God. That is our focus. That's why we push the screens outward so that the cross could be at the center, so that we never have any doubt in this place, Jesus is at the center. Christ is all sufficient for everything we need. And frankly, in 20 years, when everybody has Google glasses, we'll get rid of the screens anyway, right? I don't know. They might go out of style. What will never change is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. What will never change is the church is built upon his love and justice, and that we rise together to give him glory, him honor, and him adoration. That's why we gather tonight, and why we'll gather every week until God calls us home or until he returns to praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm so grateful. I'm so excited that we get to be God's church in this space. I'm looking forward to worshiping Christ and celebrating his victories with you. We're going to sing a couple more songs. We felt like we prayed, we heard the word, let's rejoice, let's celebrate. We're going to sing two more songs, and then afterwards we'll continue celebrating by eating cookies and drinking coffee. Oh my gosh. It doesn't get better than that, I don't think. Let's pray together this evening. I almost said it again. Jesus, you are the cornerstone. You are the one who has made a way in the wilderness. You are the one who parts waters and allows us to move into a new season because of your mercy, because of your compassion, because of your strength and your love for your people. You've created a space for us. And we are a people who live in tension. We're a people who don't reject paradox. And so tonight we say that this space is incredibly important and it's just a building. That both are true. And we say that what is the most important thing is your people gathered in your name, transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit, and extending the message of the gospel and the grace and justice of God to the ends of the earth. May you bless your church. May you cause us to unite in love and worship. And may we remember as we watch these stones and as we contribute our stories of seeing you faithful to them, may we remember that you are with us even to the very end of the age. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name, and the Church of Jesus Christ said, amen. Let's stand tonight and worship the Lord. I'm really glad that we had the kids' dance corner going on over here. Because that's kind of what it's all about, right? Paying it forward, teaching the faith forward, loving our kids into a relationship with Jesus. And so let's pray together. Let's pray a prayer of dedication over this space. Jesus Christ, who died for his church, who made a way for sinful man, even though it was impossible for us to reach you on our own. Jesus, the saving Lord who leads us into his kingdom by inviting us to pick up our cross and follow after you. We dedicate this space to your name and your glory. We dedicate this space to the building of your church, of your people, of your curious community, of men and women who have been redeemed to live on mission to proclaim your grace and extend your mercy to the ends of the earth. We dedicate this space for baptisms, for weddings, for funerals, for occasions to celebrate and times to mourn. We dedicate this space to be a place that calls us to remember your faithfulness, a space that invites us into community, and a space that causes us to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We dedicate this space to you. May you continue to lead and build your church. May we continue to see your goodness in the land of the living. And may the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up by this people. We pray all of this in the strong name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Don't run out of here. I know that it's late, maybe for kiddos and get ready to bed, but there is coffee and cookies. Feel free to walk around and to enjoy. Thank you so much, church. We bless you. Go in peace.